Hello, this is Chris with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, June 18th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. State of Expression Art Exhibition opens today at Parkland's Goertz Gallery from Champaign. Illinois, at almost 200 years old, is a state as diverse as its artwork. Showcasing that diversity will be Illinois at 200, a juried exhibition of nearly 50 pieces at Parkland College's Goertz Gallery, said gallery director Lisa Costello. The show opens today and runs through August 8th. On display, attendees will find paintings and objects to art, some traditional, some not, including some art representing the state itself. For instance, Rob Springfield, no relation to the state capitol, used maps of Illinois in creating his pieces. I've always liked maps. I used to draw them as a kid and have collected them ever since. With road maps, it was always the way of finding a town. The topographic maps that I use in my current work define a sense of location and elevation. They are all maps of different quadrants of Illinois. I like that fact that I'm using maps that I know the locations. Many of them I've driven through or visited. When I was a kid, my father was in the military, so we were always moving from one place to another. Maps were the source to find my way home. And one notable sculpture being exhibited is The Dinner Table by artist Charity White, a University of Illinois graduate who says the work is about the complexities of a mother and son's adult relationship and partnership in suburban Chicago. Parkland student Cole Daniel helped set up the dinner table by painting wooden panels of extra size in order to display a life-size ceramic sculpture of the top half of a man of girth, which is paired with another sculpture of a smaller woman. The exhibition is comfortably ahead of Illinois' bicentennial. Illinois became the 21st state on December 3, 1818. The show's artist reception will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday, with opening remarks by Costello and Kelly White of 40 North, with a musical performance by Acoustic Mayhem. The closing reception will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. August 8th, with a gallery talk at 6:30 p.m. with exhibition juror Doug Stempleton of the Illinois State Museum. Rules may change on parking lot behavior. Vote set Tuesday to add policies to city code. From Champaign, there aren't rules on the city's books about prohibitive activities in city-owned parking lots and metered spaces, but that could be changing soon. The Champaign City Council plans to vote Tuesday on creating formal guidelines for what people can't do in those areas. Included in the proposal is mainly anything that's not related to parking, such as alcohol consumption, gambling, littering, and selling products or services. Chris Coaster, Champaign's Administrative Services Manager, said city staff realize the city code currently lacks that kind of language. Staff currently use their best judgment if a parking lot activity issue comes up. We can tell there's things that have been that have happened on the weekends because there's stuff for us to clean up when we go through the parking lot, mostly on Monday mornings. We'll find piles of garbage or bags of garbage left behind. But it's not just an issue of cleanliness. This vote is coming at the beginning of summer, a time when the city typically sees a spike in violence. Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb announced last week that a community action team of officers will be focusing on the downtown area this summer during Friday and Saturday nights. 2 days after he briefed community coalition members of the department's plans, his officers responded to a pair of shooting incidents in the city near 3rd and Hill Streets about 7:54 p.m. Friday and near Beardsley Park less than 2 hours later. And early on Saturday morning last June, gunfire outside crowded downtown bars led to calls for a greater law enforcement presence by some business owners and patrons. Champaign Councilman Tom Bruno said Tuesday's vote is partially tied to violence concerns. I think we all consider our successful downtown to be a really wonderful asset, but in the past couple of years we've had a few bad incidents. If anybody is killed downtown, it could rapidly collapse all of our success. If the guidelines are approved, Coaster said the plan is to have them posted on signs in a month. This change requires a parking enforcement officer or law enforcement officer to verbally request that an individual cease any non-parking activity before taking any enforcement action. City-owned parking lots are occasionally used for purposes other than parking. Downtown's Walnut Street lot was the site of a small memorial service last August after Terry Moore Jr. was fatally shot. Coaster said the city would still accept special event permit applications for non-parking purposes that aren't prohibited under the guidelines. And from Crime Stoppers, wanted Urbana shooting suspect. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help solving a shooting in Urbana that left a man with a hand injury. At about 3:47 a.m. June 7th, the victim was in his vehicle at a stoplight at Lincoln and Bradley Avenues in Urbana. A person he did not know pulled up next to him and shot at him twice. The man sustained an injury to his finger. The shooter took off to the west on Bradley in a silver vehicle while the victim drove himself to the hospital for treatment. Investigators need help identifying the suspects involved in this shooting. If you have information on this shooting, contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS. Disarming facts. News Gazette analysis, 858 guns seized by four agencies since 2015. In the past 3 years, Champaign County law enforcement agencies seized 31 firearms while investigating domestic disputes. After one bountiful burglary investigation, they recovered 19 handguns, 5 rifles, and 3 shotguns. They took another 2 guns away from someone who called 911 during a mental health crisis. Whether a firearm is stolen in a residential burglary, taken after an arrest, or held for safety reasons following a domestic dispute, rarely a day passes that police don't remove a firearm of some sort from the street, at least for the short term. Since 2015, Champaign, Urbana, and Rantoul Police and the Champaign County Sheriff's Office have seized 858 handguns, shotguns, and rifles, according to records obtained by the News Gazette via open records requests. What happens to those firearms once they're in police hands can vary widely. Some are sent to a foundry to be melted down. Some are shipped to the state crime lab for testing. Some are returned to their owners. And some are even kept and used for police training exercises. Many more firearms may soon stock the shelves of Illinois police departments following state legislators' passage of a bill that authorized judges to seize firearms from those who are a risk to harm themselves or others. In Urbana, police evidence technician Michelle Carr is one of the first people to handle a firearm once it's in police custody. She ensures it's unloaded, makes it temporarily inoperable by placing a zip tie or other item through the barrel and breech, puts it in a box, and places it in an evidence locker. Depending on the investigation, she may take the gun to the Illinois State Police Crime Lab in Springfield, where forensic scientists check for fingerprints, compare the gun's serial number to a database of unsolved crimes, or conduct ballistic testing. If the gun is being held for any other reason, maybe someone found it, Urbana police can keep it for 6 months. If a gun is returned to its owner, safety is the number one concern. The person picking up the gun must have a valid Illinois firearm owner's identification card or concealed carry license, as well as an approved method for taking it home. What I will do is make sure the owner knows to bring a gun case. You can't just walk out brandishing a gun. Urbana Police Chief Sylvia Morgan said there are in-house policies in place for guns held for safekeeping when related to a mental health or domestic-related case. For mental health cases, police can hold on to a firearm for 90 days. In general, the department is not required to keep a gun longer than 180 days after notice has been provided to the owner. Morgan said both domestic violence and mental health situations can turn violent very quickly, so police must act fast in those cases. But they also have constraints. The only way we would take a gun that was not used in a crime would be if we believe that the person is going to harm themselves. But we have to have pretty significant information on that end. In Champaign, if there's no longer a use for a firearm and the owner was notified but never claimed it, Police Detective Patrick Funkhauser will likely see it. As the department's armorer, it's his job to determine if a gun has utility, including whether it could be used by police for training. He says he's seen just about every gun that's been taken by police. We seize a significant number of guns, and some of them are very high-quality firearms. It's pretty rare to issue them back out to police, but we usually see if it's useful to us in an investigative capacity or maybe training. A lot of seized firearms are training aids. Police do not sell, trade, or return firearms to the marketplace. If there's no use for them and no one has claimed them, the guns get melted down. Over the years, we have gotten the assistance from various foundries in the state that allow us to bring firearms and illegal narcotics to their facilities. About twice a year, police fill a van with guns and drugs and make the pilgrimage to the cooperating foundries. Their locations are typically kept secret, given the threat of being burglarized. We basically dump them all in this big cauldron and watch to make sure it's being destroyed. Over the past several years, he said the number of firearms taken by police has increased significantly, especially those seized in mental health-related cases. It's increased our workload with firearms. We have a unit in the department now that's dedicated just to addressing violent crime. In 2015, Champaign County Sheriff's deputies seized 18 guns. That number rose to 39 in 2016 and 50 last year. Champaign and Urbana police have also seen increases. Champaign police took 110 guns in 2015, 120 in 2016, 121 in 2017, and 40 in the first 3 months of 2018. Urbana police took 14 guns in 2015, 32 in 2016, 23 in 2017. Through March 2018, the department has seized 7. Of all the guns seized by 4 Champaign County agencies in the last 3 years, 140 were returned to their owner or designee, usually a family member. The kinds of cases where guns are taken by police include domestic disputes, suicides, successful burglary investigations, or those found and turned in. The majority of guns seized, 497, were done so because handlers possessed them illegally, did not have an FOID card, or fired them unlawfully. Other reasons are more grim. 31 were taken after domestic dispute. Of those, a Glock, an Astra, a Tanfolgio 9mm, a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson, a Browning High Power, 2 Enfield rifles, a Ruger rifle, and a Thompson rifle were returned to owners. Of the guns returned, 17 had been taken during home or vehicle burglaries. In one Urbana home burglary in February 2016, an intruder made off with 11 handguns, 5 AR-15 style rifles, and 3 shotguns. All were recovered and returned to their owner. In a Champaign case from March 2018, 4 handguns and a shotgun were recovered and returned to an owner. From 2015 to 2017, Champaign police seized 23 firearms in connection to murders, 27 to robberies, and 15 to assaults. Another 12 were taken after suicides, and 10 were seized to either prevent a suicide or as part of a mental health intervention. In the wake of mass shootings across the country, the state legislature began a renewed push in February to lobby for stricter gun regulations. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan pushed 3 bills that would place stricter regulations on gun dealers, restrict the purchase of military-style assault rifles, and strengthen laws to keep individuals with a history of violence or mental illness from obtaining or keeping guns. On May 30th, both houses passed a bill that would set up lethal violence orders of protection, which would allow family members or law enforcement officers the ability to ask a court to temporarily intervene and prevent those who are a threat to themselves or others from possessing firearms. If approved by Governor Bruce Rauner, the so-called Red Flag Bill will make Illinois the 11th state with such legislation, Another 8 states have proposed similar bills. One sponsor, State Senator Julie Morrison, said the law would empower family members and law enforcement, often the first people to notice that a person is entering a mental health crisis or exhibiting violent behavior, to disarm a potentially dangerous individual. Proponents say the legislation could ultimately reduce the number of suicides, as it has in neighboring Indiana. A University of Indianapolis study that analyzed risk-based firearm seizure laws in Indiana and Connecticut found that they led to a 7.5% reduction in firearm suicides in the 10 years following their enactment. Most people would agree that there are some people that at least at some point in their life shouldn't have a firearm with them, said University of Indianapolis clinical and forensic psychology professor Aaron Kistow, who ran the study. Whether it's a temporary crisis because of a layoff or whatever it might be, at some point we just shouldn't allow people to have firearms. These laws fill a gap to prevent suicides and hopefully homicides too. Vietnam Wall, Huey Key draws at event, but turnout not as organizer expected, from Effingham. Edward Duncan points to his dead friend's name on the traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall in Effingham. He came all the way from California to find the name of Roger Crowe, who was killed right next to him August 30, 1970. A rocket hit their armored personnel carrier, but Duncan somehow survived. "I think of him a lot," he said on Saturday. Veterans Fest, which continued through the weekend in Effingham, shares space with the Mid-America Motorworks Car Show, heavy on Volkswagen Beetles and Corvettes. On Saturday, it was a little easier to find a car fan than a veteran. Jeff Tinsley of Moroa, a Korean War veteran, said he was touched by the festival. He'd managed to get into his old uniform, so he got in free Saturday. The event honors personnel from all service branches. "I was moved, especially by what they did for the Vietnam boys. They never got the showing they deserved." Also from the Vietnam era, a Bell Huey helicopter circling above the cars, like something out of Apocalypse Now. Lori Baker of Decatur was waiting in the 92-degree heat, hoping for a ride. "My dad was in Vietnam, but he's passed. I'd like to know a little of how it all felt for him." The event's organizer, Rantoul's Jerry Doc Weiss, has planned veterans events for several years, including plane rides, and plans to do this festival again, but in May, with more support and not sharing space with another festival. "We need more donors and organizations cooperating with us." Weiss has seen difficult times. He lost 8 friends and comrades in his platoon on a single day in Vietnam, where he served as a combat medic and carried an enormous pack in the jungle. But the festival was a disappointment in its first 2 days. "I thought we might get 10,000, but there were maybe 200 altogether." He said the event had 8,900 Facebook followers. Weiss was partially chagrined that he brought Hal Fritz, a recipient of the nation's top military decoration, the Medal of Honor, for his actions in the Vietnam War. Weiss said the captain didn't get the welcome he was deserving for his service. But the helicopter ride was doing good business, he said. Some felt the festival was a financial flop, but there's a lot of things here that are great, and we'll do it again. For Rick Kunstler of The Trip, was well worth it. "The wall, even at a small size, is one of the most moving things I've ever seen." Also on the front page, state looking to see suspect's big rig, from Urbana. Champaign County's top prosecutor has taken steps to seize the semi-trailer truck of a Wisconsin man accused of shattering windows of passing motorists while driving the rig on Interstate 74 through the Champaign-Urbana area. On Friday, Judge John Kennedy found there was probable cause for the state to proceed with a civil forfeiture proceeding against Kevin Lee Casey, 53, of Janesville, Wisconsin, intended to relieve him of his semi-trailer. Casey was charged June 4th in a criminal case with 2 counts of aggravated battery and 2 counts of criminal damage to property, accusing him of using a slingshot and ball bearings to shatter other motorists' windows on I-74 in May. In one of the incidents, on May 2nd, a 3-year-old boy was cut by flying glass. Although Casey was charged in connection with the three incidents, Illinois State Police reported about 45 between late March and June 1st when he was arrested. The day after Casey was arraigned on the criminal charges, the state filed a petition asking the judge to decide if there is probable cause to find that the 2014 Freightliner Cascadia he owns was used in committing the crime and therefore subject to forfeiture. State Attorney Julie Reese said the law spells out specific offenses for which the state can seek civil forfeiture for vehicles. In this case, aggravated battery is the eligible offense. Her office typically uses the forfeiture proceedings against drug dealers who sell from their cars. Notice was sent to the parties with an interest in the truck. Casey, his company, Casey Express LLC, which has the same address as his home, and a finance company in Itasca, which financed the truck. The owner or the other claimant has 28 days to file any defenses to the forfeiture proceeding, Reed said, of the next step of the process. In this situation, we are aware that the loan that's outstanding on the truck is as much or more than the value of the vehicle. We are in discussions with the lien holder on how to resolve the issue. If there was value to the vehicle, the end resolution of the proceeding could be that it would be auctioned and the proceeds would go to the law enforcement agency that seized the vehicle. But given that in this situation, it appears that he owes more than it's worth. Most likely we'll resolve this with some agreement with the lien holder. The end goal is to make sure Casey doesn't get the semi back. Casey continues to be held in the Champaign County Jail, unable to post 10% of his $2 million bond. He is due back in court on the criminal charges August 7th. And from Champaign, Midtown Project grants set for vote. Bar owner Scott Cochran wants to spend about $1.67 million to renovate a long vacant building across the street from the former Chester Street Bar. The Champaign City Council will vote Tuesday on whether to chip in $300,000 in redevelopment incentive program grants. It's part of a project called Midtown Crossing at the corner of Water and Chestnut Streets, a block east of the railroad tracks and just south of University Avenue. Cochran and his companies have bought three of the four buildings at that intersection over the past 2 years for a combined $1.57 million, according to county records. He bought the Chester Street Bar on the southeast corner last year and had hoped to open it by the beginning of this year, but it caught fire last October. Cochran, who also owns the Campus Town Bars Red Lion, Firehouse, and the Clybourne, declined to comment, but after the fire he told the News Gazette, "I'm trying to bring Midtown to life." With Midtown Crossing, Cochran would like to turn Water Street from University Avenue to Chester Street into an outdoor dining and gathering space. The Midtown Crossing proposal is currently under staff review and will be brought to City Council for consideration at a future date, wrote Bruce Knight, the city's planning and development director, in a memo to council members. If approved by City Council in the coming weeks, the vacation of Water Street will allow for a cohesive development, add new outdoor dining and gathering space, eliminate city maintenance responsibility for a street that is rarely used, and eliminate the dangerous intersection at Water Street and University Avenue. With three $100,000 grants up for vote Tuesday, one for each of the three buildings that make up 65 East University Avenue, Cochran has plans to make the first floor a commercial space with five residential units on the second floor. The ground floor, I think he's looking for a restaurant bar type space, but he hasn't given us any specifics yet. That would be consistent with the zoning and plans for the future of the area. Knight is recommending that the council approve the grants, as the renovation would fit with the city's vision for Midtown and restore the historic Avenue building on the northeast corner of the intersection. It was built from 1918 to 1922 for commercial use by real estate developer Howard Nash, but has been vacant for at least 30 years. It's a building that, unless someone invested in it soon, was going to fall down on its own. To have Scott take this on and renovate this building and make it viable for reuse is definitely an exciting project. The building will need new roofs, new floors, vegetation and mold removal, new windows, and water damage repair. In contrast to the other buildings at this intersection, the avenue seems to have never quite lived up to its potential. What a fantastic turnabout it would be, then, if nearly 100 years after they were built, the avenue buildings were turned into a bustling commercial and residential development. If approved, Cochran would be reimbursed, after completing the work, from the East University Avenue Tax Increment Finance District. A letter to the editor. Democrats support liberty and freedom. A recent letter writer equated voting for Republicans with liberty. She subscribes to the Republican vision for the country, which is based on a strong father-family model. Democrats' vision for the country is not as well articulated as the model Republicans have refined for 40 years, but it too supports liberty and freedom. Democrats' families are headed by nurturing parents, where good behavior derives from empathy. Lawlessness is not condoned, but justice is tempered with mercy when rules are broken, because properly guided second chances promote better behavior. Progressives strongly support education, while conservatives typically regard education with suspicion. Unlike conservatives, progressives know that education is not just for learning skills and to earn a living, but also to understand the beliefs and motivations of other cultures and religions. This understanding fosters empathy for others less fortunate, helping to make society better for everyone, respecting the rights of others to make difficult life choices, and critically thinking to make fact-based decisions. This makes it our patriotic duty to question the policies and behavior of our current president and his supporters, like Congressman Davis, when they violate our values. Unlike those who believe we should have a dictatorial leader, I support the nurturing parent model of the American family and will vote for progressive candidates who support those values. They will promote liberty and the freedom from want and fear, on which FDR based the progressive policies of the New Deal, and not just the hollow freedom to carry a gun. Ray Zielinski, Champaign. And from Cape Canaveral, Florida, space woman who holds record retires. NASA's record-breaking astronaut Peggy Woodson retired Friday, less than a year after returning from her last and longest space flight. She has spent more time off the planet than any other American, 665 days over three space station missions. She's also the world's most experienced female spacewalker, with 10 under her spacesuit belt. Whitson was the first woman to command the International Space Station, holding the position twice and the oldest woman ever to fly in space. She was also the only woman to have served as chief of NASA's male-dominated astronaut corps. Fellow astronauts called Whitson a space ninja. "It's been the greatest honor to live out my lifelong dream of being a NASA astronaut." We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, June 18th. Please stay tuned.